In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. It's often said that English has more words than any other language. Indeed, in my native England, a good number of those words are for rain. Mizzle, drizzle, plother, and dibble, to give just a few examples, reflecting the entirely understandable English obsession with wet weather. And yet, for all that linguistic richness, English is the only language I can think of that has just one word for the idea to know. Compare French, for example, which is the other language I know best. French has two distinct words to describe very different things, both of which are covered by the English word to know, savoir and connaître. Similarly, Italian has sapere and conoscere. Spanish has saber and conocer, and all of those are derived, of course, from Latin, which has sapere and cognoscere. Not that it's just the Romance languages that do this too. Think of German, which has two different words for to know, wissen and kennen. The first lot of all of those verbs, sapere in Latin, savoir in French, wissen in German, the first lot mean to know in the sense of knowing about something, being in possession of facts or information. It's abstract or intellectual knowledge. Whereas the second lot of those verbs, cognoscere in Latin, connaître in French, kennen in German, and so on, that second lot of verbs mean something entirely different. Because with those verbs, it's about knowing someone personally, as a friend, or understanding a situation that we've experienced. In other words, it's emotional knowing rather than abstract knowledge. Jesus uses the verb to know in our reading from John's Gospel today. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And the word he uses belongs to that second group of words, because New Testament Greek also has two words for to know. And the word Jesus uses in the original, ginosko, means to know in a relational, experiential way. Jesus is saying that he knows his people emotionally. He knows his people heartfully, in a way that reaches out and connects. This isn't knowing about somebody in some kind of abstract intellectual way. It's knowing them as a person, meeting them where they're at, encountering them as they are. Jesus shows us that God isn't interested in just knowing stuff about us. God wants actually to know us intimately and personally. God wants to meet us in person. And the way God meets us in person is through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, making himself close and accessible to us, as Pope Leo XIV observed in his homily at his first Mass as Pontiff on Friday. Because God in Christ came to a wounded and hurting world to show that God knows us and calls to us in love, and keeps on calling, keeps on reaching out to us, keeps on inviting us into an ever deeper relationship with him. God in Christ came to show us that God knows us and loves us, not for the people that we're trying to be or the people that we want to be. God knows us and loves us for the people we are, with all our triumphs and tragedies, with all our gifts and faults. Jesus knows us as we are and loves us as we are. Jesus came into the world out of the abundant love of God for the world, and he demonstrates that love through his life, death, and resurrection. That is the joyful truth that we celebrate in this Easter season. And yet our gospel reading today takes us back some 4 months before Jesus' death and resurrection. He's in Jerusalem for Hanukkah, the festival of lights, celebrating the rededication of the temple. What has that to do with Easter? It seems to me that what he says to the religious leaders and authorities in Jerusalem, who are frustrated by his popular appeal, they're keen to control him, what he says to them gives them a whole new vision of God, the God of love, who longs to be in relationship with people. And what he says points forward to, and so now reminds us of, the good news of his death and resurrection, through which we have eternal life. If you think back to John's account of the first Easter day, which we recalled 3 weeks ago, Mary Magdalene is outside the empty tomb, and just as the sheep hear the voice of the Good Shepherd naming them, so Mary Magdalene hears the voice of the Shepherd calling her name. At first she mistakes the risen Lord for the gardener, but then he says her name. He knows her by name. She hears his voice and turns to her Lord and Saviour. Today's gospel points forward to that moment. And think back too to Jesus' encounter with his disciples on the night before he died, because today's gospel points forward to that moment too. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus takes his disciples' feet in his hands and washes them, showing them and us the intimacy of God's love. To let someone wash your feet is a very intimate physical act. And this is precisely what divine love looks like. As Jesus takes into his hands the feet of the 12 disciples, he's saying to them through his actions, I see you as you are. I know you as you are. I love you as you are. And immediately after Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, he asks them, do you know what I have done to you? And the word he uses for to know is the same word he uses in today's gospel. Ginosko, to know in a relational, experiential way. Jesus asks his disciples what they have experienced in that extraordinary moment as he took the role of a servant and washed their feet. He's asking them, how aware are they of the mystery of divine love that he has just revealed to them? He's asking them about their lived relationship with God himself, who is alive and at work in the world. And on their basis, on the basis of their lived experience of being known, loved, seen, touched, washed by God, Jesus calls his followers to a life of discipleship, which means loving others as he has loved them, I have set you an example, he says to them at the Last Supper, that you should also do as I have done to you. And what was true for those first disciples is true for us too. Our experience of the love of Christ, our experience of being known and loved by God, our experience of being held in the Father's hand, as we hear in today's gospel, our experience, our knowledge of that, should be the basis for our whole lives as Christians. Because our faith isn't about being convinced of God's existence because he is a worthwhile idea, or being persuaded as an intellectual proposition that Christ is a religious or ethical model. Our faith is about knowing and being known by a person, Jesus Christ. And then, in response, making known in our lives and in the lives of others the love that we experience in the person of Jesus Christ. Because everything that we do as Christians, everything is about encountering the person of Jesus Christ, about knowing the person of Jesus Christ. When we receive Holy Communion, it's about encountering a person, Jesus Christ. When we read the scriptures, it's about hearing the voice of a person, Jesus Christ. When we serve our neighbor, it's about recognizing a person, Jesus Christ, in the face of other people, no matter what their background or race or class. So in this coming week, and strengthened by your participation in this Holy Communion, open your ears to hear the voice of the one who knows you better than you know yourself, and who calls you by name. Open your eyes and your heart to those around you, loving your neighbor as Christ loves you, and pray that those around you might, through your words and actions, catch a glimpse of the divine, and that they might come to know for themselves the love of the God who longs to be in relationship with each and every one of us. The Lord be with you.
And